Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up, what's up, everybody? You know what it is. It's your boy, PDP, coming to you talking about the word on the street. You know what it is. Hey, this is one of my favorite songs. Every time I hear this beat, I just want to start jamming, get my jam on. You know what I'm saying? So what's up, man? I'm gonna go ahead and kill that. I got a police officer straight up out of Houston, Texas, who's gonna be on the line telling you what it takes to be a cop, telling you just how he grew up. This dude straight from Houston, Texas, like I said, Western Day High School, 2005. Went to South Plains, and then followed on this career. Went to Abilene Christian. But coming straight up out of the Lubbock, Texas area, it's 89 degrees out there. We got a wind. The wind is about 20 miles per hour. I mean 10 miles per hour. I'm sorry, it's 20% chance of rain. So it's 89 degrees, fellas. You know what that means. Yeah, if you've been working out, you get to throw on a little cut-off shirt, you show off your little muscles, go for a run, you know what I'm saying? But tonight it's going to be a little 57, might have to walk around with a hoodie, but tomorrow it's going to be 88 degrees, you know what I'm saying? So before we get started on the show, I'm going to go ahead and bring on my partner, youth minister straight up out of Houston, Texas. His name is Stephen Ollie. If you want to go read a bio on him, go ahead and go to sorteveryday.com. Go ahead and read up on my man right there. What's up, Mr. Ivy? You there, my man?
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going well. It's going good, brother. How's your morning going?
Man, it's going good. It's pretty good.
It's going good. That's what's up. I'm going to go ahead and give you the phone, let you do your thing, man.
All right. Well, hey, I'll do this in maybe two or three parts. Today what I want to talk about is really it's five of your most needed relationships, and really it's six. We're going to do six. And I want you to think of a basketball team. I'm not a great basketball player, but you know, a successful basketball team has to have five people on the court at all times, and if you want to, be successful, then, you know, you need some subs as well. So we're going to do six. And think about this as a basketball team, and the game is your life. There are five relationships that you need. The first relationship that I'm going to give you is, I think, if not the most, is one of the most vital relationships that you need in your life. And that first one is you need a pastor. A pastor or a spiritual director. What does that mean? It's my honest belief that when we were born, we're more than just our natural bodies. We're more than just our physical selves. We are spiritual. My belief is we came from God, who is a spirit, and he knew us before we had our earthly body and our earthly name. He knew us spiritually. And so I believe that, if you're going to, if you're going to be successful in life on this journey, you need a pastor, a spiritual director, someone who is mature enough spiritually to help you deal with things that come up spiritually. And I hopefully that's self-explanatory. But you need a pastor. And very easy, there's an easy way for everybody to get a pastor or somebody who can direct them spiritually. And that you go be affiliated with a church. you get affiliated with a church, or if you're in college, there are campus ministries all over, university campuses. But you need a pastor, somebody that can help you. Because your life is more than just what you see naturally with your natural eye. It's spiritual things that go on, too. And so you need a pastor, you need a spiritual director. Secondly, and then I'll be done, is you need a mentor. A mentor is different than a pastor. A mentor, we might talk about this tomorrow, too. A mentor is much different than a pastor. A mentor is one who gives you advice based off of experience. And so your mentor should be someone who has similar attributes, similar traits, similar a similar path as you, if that makes sense. So as a musician, if I want to be a better musician, well, I'm not going to go out and get I'm not going to get a drummer to mentor me as a piano player, because they can teach me how to be a musician, but they can't mentor me on the piano. And I have another name for somebody who doesn't share the experience with you, but we're not going to cover that today. But a mentor should be someone who has experience that can help you get where you're trying to go, because they've been there or they've walked the same path. And so whatever you're trying to do in your life, I tell my kids all the time, as I'm teaching them and talking to them and they're saying what they want to be, I always challenge them to find somebody who's doing what you want to do, because they can save you pitfalls. One of my mentors was my uncle. My uncle taught me so much as it relates to teaching choirs and playing piano and all those kinds of things. The Bible even says in Proverbs that there's safety in a multitude of counsel. And so you need a mentor, you need a pastor, you need a spiritual director. I'll end it with that, man. But I challenge whoever's listening to go find you those two.
Oh, man, you heard it right there from yourself. You've been a straight up out of Arkansas. Stephen Ivey, you need a mentor and you need a pastor. There's two steps that you can get to go on and try to be successful. Go ahead and let them know how they can reach you, Mr. Ivey.
You can reach me through Facebook, which is Stephen Ivey, Stephen with a P-H, I-V-E-Y. You can reach me on Twitter, Professor Ivy, I believe. I'm on Instagram, Professor Ivy as well. And then I have a blog that I write. I've been doing it like every other month. I write something. But it's professorspeaks.blogspot.com. And that's Professor with an A at the end, P-R-O-F-E-S-S-A, Professor.
I like how you put that swag on it. Well, all righty, Mr. Ivey. All right, Mr. Ivey, ain't going to take up no more of your time. You have a blessed day, my brother. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, you too. Yes, sir.
All righty. Yeah, that was Mr. Stephen Ivey. That was Mr. Stephen Ivey, straight up out of Arkansas Youth Minister. Go to soareveryday.com or go follow him on his social networks to keep up with the brother right there. He's doing nice things. And just like I said on the show, we have these national campaigns. We've been having all these people that's be the change we want to be. Let's do this and let's do that. And now, you know, one of the hashtags that's taken over the world lately is talking about Black Lives Matter. And so many times do we get in, us kids grow up. First of all, we all know racism is taught in the homes. It's taught at a very young age. So we all know that. So with that being said, we taught as little people to like this or not like this or dress like this or not dress like that. And more so times as a minority growing up, we get so confused, especially if we're mixed. For white and black, or we white and Mexican, and vice versa. You know, we get confused, and we don't know which side to take. When really, ultimately, there's no side to take. Just be yourself. You know what I mean? Just be original. There's only one you. No one can be better at being you than you. So, all right, if you're just not tuning in, this is Word on the Street with your boy PDP on Saving Not Least Respectfully Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Feel free to call in 877-921-1656. Just gave you a brief little intro. But on the line, I got, man, when I tell you everything happens for the reason, everything happens for a reason, you never know. You never know who you might meet. You never know who you are sitting next to. You never know if you just keep on that same path and doing right and doing what's right and believing in God, you will eventually, he will put certain people in your life. And it's crazy. And when you meet, you would never know that they was doing that occupation. So straight up out of Houston, Texas, he went to Western Dairy High School, graduated of 2005. Shout out to the 05 class, baby. Ended up going to South Plains Junior College on a track scholarship. Then after that, went to Abilene Christian, pursued his career. And now this dude is a Houston police officer. This is Mr. Harold. What's up, brother?
Not much. What's going on, big bro, man? What's going on?
Not much, man. I'm just enjoying the day. So I'd have briefly introduced you, man, so I'm going to go ahead and let you just go ahead and let the people know your first and last name, where you're from, and a little bit about yourself that that sparked the interest to help you want to be a positive person growing up.
Okay, yeah. My name is Harold Jackson, Jr., born and raised from Houston, Texas, you know. Went to Houston Westbury High School, graduated 2005, class of 2005.
Oh, that's what's up right there, class of 2005. So how was it, man, growing up? I know it probably feels pretty good to actually be working and serving the community that you actually grew up in. It might not be the same actual, like, neighborhood. So now you're a police officer. Now you're doing great things with your life. Then you're protecting and serving. So let's go ahead and rewind it back. Let's go to Little Harold. You know what I'm saying? Let's go to Little Harold growing up in elementary school. Growing up in elementary school, how was it growing up in Houston in the inner city area? How was it just growing up in elementary and trying to stay out of trouble and trying to become into your own self? So how did you stay positive growing up in elementary and make good grades without getting sucked into the bad influences around?
Oh yeah. It was pretty tough. It was pretty tough. You know, where I grew up at, you know, it's a low income places, you know, area. Stayed in an apartment complex right off Gadsden and Houston, Texas. And just growing up, man, you know, you had a lot of buddies that you grew up with, and you know, you always had some of the older cats, you know, that's in the neighborhood, you know, was up to no good and everything. It was rough, man. You know, I kind of stayed in. My parents, you know, did a good job and stayed with both of my parents. They kept me into sports. You know, that was my thing. That was my scapegoat as far as to not being around, you know, the wrong crowd, the wrong area, the wrong people. You know, and those are, you know, my parents instilled in, you know, good decisions. You know, they always told me to make, you know, good decisions. So them keeping me involved with sports, it kept me occupied. You know, especially when school's out in the summertime, it kept me occupied, you know. And those were one of the things I say, looking at now, that did a lot for me as far as growing up in the neighborhood that I grew up in. And, you know, I thank them for that, and I understand it now when I'm older than I did when I was younger. And, you know, that was one of the things that they kept me involved in, was just sports.
Okay, yeah, so it was more of the extracurricular activities that while you were growing up that helped you stay busy. And I think that is the key. Growing up, you know, I think you got to get your kids involved in sports early, because when you do get them involved in sports early, you're getting them around kids that are in that same sport. So whenever they do, if they go to elementary together and stuff, that's something that's on their mind. And I really believe the stuff that you show a kid growing up, that's something that he's going to cling to whenever he's bored, whenever he starts getting in the teen years. Because just like my pops always told me, keep it simple, KIS, you know what I'm saying? Keep it simple. But which brings me into this, Mr. Jackson, when you start to become a man, because you're a tall brother now. Now, you ain't no small dude. So when you started to become a man and started to fluctuate going into your middle school and high school years, was it so sports, you got a scholarship, so obviously you put in the time. So give somebody some advice that helped you stay focused in high school, and when was it that you knew that you was going to get a scholarship? Like, did you know you needed a scholarship to go to college, or you knew you was going to go to college whether you got a scholarship or not?
It was one of those things, you know, this being Texas, you know, we're real huge on football, and I always had a passion for football. I mean, I played it ever since I was, you know, younger. Middle school, you know, it was one of those things where I knew just to get away from where I was, I had to do something else other than, you know, just being around the house. So I knew that sports, like I said, sports was my scapegoat. So growing up in middle school, you know, I was good in all athletic sports. So then moving, transitioning to high school, you know, I had, you know, ran summer track. I did, you know, all these other, you know, AU basketball, AU baseball, stuff like that. So going into high school, it was just like a need-to-know basis. You know, it was like one of those things where, you know, I knew football was like priority, and then everything else fell into place. You know, my coaches were big on, you know, they put in our head, you know, to get away from your problems, to get away from some of the stuff that you, you know, mm-hmm. deal with. It's always good to get an education. And to further education, you might as well, you know, God has blessed you with, you know, athletic abilities. So use that to get where you want to go in life. So just knowing that, you know, it kind of put that message in the back of your brain where it was something like, hey, in order to make it or to order to be successful, I have to elevate my game as far as, you know, knowing what I want, knowing how to get to the next level. And, you know, knowing that, you know, they speak for, you know, college, hey, you need to go to college, you know, better education, you get a better job. That was the main goal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm not going to lie, I wasn't that academic smart. You know, I was like, hey, you know, my ticket is going to be sports. I knew that was my ticket, you know. So even my family, you know, my mom and them, my dad and them, they worked hard. They was, you know, some blue-collar workers. They worked hard, and, you know, sometimes they didn't have the time to go to my games, but I knew, you know, by my dad being a line haul driver, a truck driver, my mom working at, you know, working at Sam's Club, I'm like, man, my parents, they work hard to give us what they never had as kids. Growing up with my two older sisters, I was the only boy. I was the youngest. So they, you know, had to look after me. You know, my sisters had to look after me. And they knew, okay, my sisters, they were the academic type, you know. But I knew just my patience, just being a young guy, you know. I'm big on sports.
Yeah.
You know, I really didn't have to just work hard. I just did enough to get by as far as academics and, you know, in high school. And that was one of the things where, you know, I hung out with the guys in, you know, the neighborhood. Yeah, we were young. We did, you know, we did crazy stuff. You know, we were kids, you know. We were just, you know, we were kids, basically. You know, you put, you know, 7-8 guys together, you know.
Yeah, 15,
you know,
girls,
13,
you know,
14 years old, we chasing girls and, you know, we going out, we doing stuff, and, you know, we you know, knocking on doors and running. That's what we did, you know. So
I feel like, because I think that's when most of us get fast. You know,
exactly. I mean, that's basically what it is. You know, you're racing in the neighborhood. You know, you want to be the fastest guy in an apartment complex. So any challenges you get, you got to take it. You know, and you know, as far as, you know, knocking on doors, running, playing hide and go seek, playing chase, water balloon flight, you know, balloon fight. And we did all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I guess that's where you like you said, you get your speed from, you know. So that's something I kind of just took to heart, you know. I didn't like to be beat, you know. Even now, I'm so much a competitor. I hate being challenged, you know. I like the challenge, but I hate losing, you know what I'm saying? That was just one of my mentalities that I took in, you know, college. And, you know, as an, you know, athlete, you know, I just hate losing. So I had to have that mentality like, hey, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to win, you know. So so back when I was saying in high school, it was just one of those things where, you know, I always kept in the back of my mind. I knew my parents, they couldn't afford college just like some, you know, other parents could. So they even told me, like, hey, man, we just tell you like this, you know, your two sisters went to college, you know. We kind of depleted the college fund. We kind of set up for all three of y'all. So, you know, my dad told me, hey, you know, I don't have no college fund for you, so you better go out there and get you a scholarship. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, hey, that's all you need to tell me. You know, that's all you need to tell me. So I just took it upon myself to excel in sports. You know, whether it was football, track, you know, basketball, baseball. I just took it upon myself to be more marketable, to have the opportunity to get a college scholarship. And that's what I did. I mean, coming out of high school.
Your pops came to you, which. Oh, no, go ahead, man. I'm sorry,
no,
man. Go ahead and finish. I wasn't even trying to cut you off.
What I was gonna say is
that so your pops came in and told you what you had to do. It was just like, come in and get you the scholarship. In your head, you was like, well, shoot, I'm gonna go ahead and do it. You know what I mean? So what that means is you put a goal in place, and then you achieved that goal, and now you surpassed it, and now you're benefiting from that goal and able to get a career job. You know what I mean? So which brings me to this, like I said, my pops told me, keep it simple. And it's crazy, like most young kids these days, it don't always have to be minority kids. It can be kids of all races, especially international people you can relate this to international people who come over here to the States, because more times than not, you got the international people like Asians, whether Asians, Indians, Mexicans. It doesn't matter. They come over here and they start to own their own businesses because they see the opportunity that they can come over here and do so. But when you're already growing up in America, all the games that you say that you were playing outside, hide and seek, whatever it is, knocking on doors and running, whatever it was, you were outside. But nowadays you got these kids in the house on these iPads, on these notebooks, on these Wii's, and then they're isolating themselves. And then getting mad when people are bullying them on social media, which then they don't know how to they not getting in fist fights. They're not getting put in corners. You know, they're not out there on the block how most people quote unquote say out there on the block is associated with a negative term. But honestly, that's a positive term, because you're on the block and the street lights is on and people are out there running. And if it's baseball season, they might be out there playing little kid baseball. Football, they might be playing little tackle of the man. I don't know what you guys call it in Houston. But whether they're little girls is out there playing house, whether they're just whatever it is, you know, people are just outside and the community just came together. But nowadays, there's so much isolation, so much socialization that's going over on social media. We have all these ways to get in contact with people, but still most people feeling more by themselves than anything. So socially, what would you tell that athlete right now that's in his senior year, socially, how can he separate himself into achieving that career goal in whichever he chooses to partake in?
So, yeah, my advice is, just don't get complacent. You know, have a goal in mind. When you enter college, when you get to that senior year knowing that you want to go to college, whether it's your college of your choice or whether it's somewhere that, you not want to go to, but still going there with that goal in mind. Don't get complacent. Don't get sidetracked by, some of these distractions that comes with the college. And then especially being, whether you're just not going to college to be an athlete, just going to college to be, just a student, I still say don't get complacent, don't get distracted by some of these things that comes with the college education or comes with on campuses or outside of campuses. And especially for a college athlete, regardless of what sport you're playing, don't get complacent. Don't get a self of entitlement, saying, "Oh yeah, they need me, so I'm all this, I'm all that." Because you have a rude awakening where you're just a scholarship away. You're just a letter of intent away from them getting somebody else to replace you.
yeah,
make sure when you're going to college, you knowing how to stay there. Pretty much how to go to class. Don't get caught up in this hype or outside of college where, you feel like, nothing can be done wrong to you, because I've seen a lot of, a lot of cats, a lot of guys that I went to college with that had all the talent in the world, wouldn't go into class, getting complacent, not doing this, or they get the little stipend, or they get their little, the refund, you know what I'm saying, and going out and balling and buying all this. And they get sidetracked of what the overall goal is to get that education, because they're going to, and I hate to say it like that, they're using you for your athletic abilities to make them look good, for them to keep their job. But you're forgetting about the education that they're paying for, but that you take for granted. You know what I'm saying? And if you go in there with that goal in mind, like, hey, You know, I know they're using me, so I'm gonna use them for my education. So they're gonna, you know, I'm gonna do this sport good enough and well enough for them to pay for my whole 4 years, so then I can get my college education for free. And then so when it all comes to the end, I have a college degree off of them for free. You know what I'm saying? Oh, they, I did this for them. You know, and those were one of the things where my parents, my high school coaches, you know, I'm a summer track coach, which is, you know, like a second father to me, kind of just told me. You know what I'm saying? My summer track coach, which is like my second father, you know, he was this high school phenom coming out of San Antonio. He went to LSU on a full ride track scholarship. You know what I'm saying? He was the who's who of track. But he got, you know, it was one of those things where he got so complacent and got so tired, where he kind of burned himself out, where he just took himself out of the pitch and just dropped out. You know what I'm saying? He just dropped out. And all the stuff he did, you know, him being a high school phenom and him come to LSU as a freshman on the mile relay team, and they got college records and breaking records. You know, all that went out the play when he just got tired of it all and walked away from it. So he was one of the ones that kind of put that in the head, like, Harold, you know, when you get there, keep that goal in mind. Don't get complacent. You know that they're using you just because of your talents, but also get something in return as far as their scholarship, as far as their education. Because at the end of the day, when everything falls, they can't take that away from you. You know what I'm saying? They can't take that away from you. So knowing that, like I said,
exactly,
you know,
right.
Knowing where I came from,
I
knew that, hey, to get out, to get ahead, to have a career, to have a job, have something to look for, once you grad, you know, once all this college and all this, you know, sports is over with, I got to have something to show for it. You know, my mom told me, hey, well, I don't care what you do, but I want that piece of paper when you finish. I don't care where you go. I just want that piece of paper. That's all she worried about. I don't care what you do, how you do. You know, your dad can ask you how you did at the track meet, or your dad can ask you how you did at the football game. But all I'm asking you is high school. Hey, Mom, I just scored 2 touchdowns. She ain't trying to hear that. She was like, hey, high school. Hey, Mom, we ran this. Well, I just won 3 national titles. I'm a 12-time All-American. No, high school. You talk to your dad about that. That was my mom. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying, like, those things, don't get complacent. Know your overall goal, man.
Man, I like that right there. And you had a second dad you can go to, your track coach, and that story right there within itself I know that really kind of hit home. It's just like, and I love how he put it to you by saying that you know, they're using you just for your talents, but. But they are giving you this free education. When you get this free education, take advantage of it. Don't get complacent, because at the end of the day, you just one letter of intent away from getting replaced. So don't get complacent. Stay motivated and finish up the education, because at the end of the day, they cannot take that away from you. So so when did you know that you wanted to be a police officer? Like, was this something that you had in mind in college? Was it something that once you start going through life, you had an epiphany that you was like, man, I just woke up, man, let me go ahead and go to this police station. You know, where was it that you decided you wanted to protect and serve, my brother?
Man, it was a number of things, you know, like even when I was younger, you know, just looking at the neighborhood I grew up in. You know what I'm saying? Just looking at the, you know, the drug dealers on the corner, just looking at some of the guys that fall in and out the system through the cracks and crevices of, you know, the law, or the, you know, the justice system. You know what I'm saying? That was one of the things where I kind of just, I always had like something in mind for it. And then even in when I was younger, they had this thing at our recreation center that was, you know, around the corner from my apartment complex. It was called the Police Activity League. They call it the PAL. And we played baseball, and then we played basketball. So we had a cop on his own time volunteering to bring us out and do activities with us. You know, we had the Boy Scout, all that stuff, and some of those were volunteer police officers who just volunteered their time to give back to the community. So just looking at that, not talking too much about law enforcement with him, but just seeing an image of him, you know what I'm saying? Like, hey, this dude right here is doing something positive in, you know, in the community, positive in the, you know, the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I kind of just wanted to do, you know? And even in middle school, high school, it was still in my mind, but, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that I always wanted to be a police officer even when I was in high school because, you know, I was feeding into the hype of me being a football or a track star. So I'm like, I'm going pro. You know what I'm saying? Like my best friend, you know, my best friend Leon Banks and my other best friend Kevin Intima, you know what I'm saying? Them are my boys. So, you know, like we all had in mind, like, hey, we're going pro, man. Regardless of what happened, we're going pro. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of just, I got clouded, just put that in the back of my mind. So me and my two best friends, we were just like, hey, it's, you know, it's pro. We're going track. We're going pro somewhere. You know, my homeboy, my boy Leon, he wanted to go to Florida State. You know what I'm saying? So we was just like, hey, you going to Florida State? I'm going to go to Tennessee. We're going to do our thing. You know what I'm saying? We just going to be football phenoms. But it didn't work out like that. You know what I'm saying? Like I say, God had another plan. God hit us with another plan. You know what I'm saying? So we had to, like, go plan B, plan C, and plan D. So it was one of those things where even when I hit college, I'm like, all right, cool. I knew I wanted to be a criminal justice. So I'm like, well, criminal justice is going to be my major. So, you know, I did criminal justice, you know, went to South Plains, you know, ran track there, got my two-year degree there. Went to, you know, I signed to K-State, Kansas State, tried to play, you know, tried to run track and just slide into the football office like I wanted, you know, just like I had planned.
Uh-huh.
Boom, you know, there goes the little old plan B where God just now, I don't want you to go to K-State. You know what I'm saying? Boom. So I just end up going to Abilene Christian. Go to Abilene Christian, boom. You know, there goes me running track. You know, there goes me playing football after I ran track. So I'm like, you know, criminal justice is always what I want to do. And I did my part of my degree plan, I had to do an internship in my field, in the criminal justice field. So I did it with the Abilene Police Department. You know, I did my internship.
Wow.
So, you know, doing my internship with them, it kind of get me like, okay, if football and stuff don't work out, yeah, I kind of want to be a police officer. I kind of like the service, you know. I like to, you know, protect and serve, the being a police officer, you know, toting the gun and the badge and knowing the law and, you know, helping people out and helping others out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't help themselves. You know, that was one of my, you know, my service, you know, serve and protect type thing, you know. So I kind of just fell into that. You know, after college, graduated, I played 2 years of arena football. That stuff didn't work out. There it goes again. God jumped in. Now, I don't want you to do that. I got hurt both seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I was reverting back to what I said, my mom, all she wanted was about me getting that paper. So I had the paper. So then once everything went, you know, tumbling down, crashing, burning, you know what I'm saying, in arena football, it's like, hey, look, there goes football, you know, there goes my degree. Yeah, I did my internship with the Abilene Police Department. Okay, cool, let me fall back on that, you know. So I moved back home a little bit, worked for the prison. I worked there for about, you know, 6 or 7 months, applied with the Abilene Police Department, got in there. You know what I'm saying? So now I'm going to the academy in Abilene, you know, did the academy, you know, graduated December 13th, you know, I graduated, and boom, I'm on the streets for a little bit. You know, I'm on the streets doing my thing in Abilene, you know, doing that, enjoying that. Things happened in Abilene where I'm like, God presented himself and took me out of that. Once he took me out of that, I was like, okay, what do you want me to do now? You know what I'm saying? So everything happened in Abilene the way it happened, just because that's what, you know, that's what happened. That's what God put in plan. So then, boom, I moved to La Mesa, Texas. I'm here now and working for the police department out here. Within 4 months here, I moved up to patrol sergeant. So now I'm running my show. Ooh. Now, you know, I'm doing all these things out here in La Mesa. You know what I'm saying? And now this is where I think that, you know, hey, God took me out of one position to put me in here. So now I'm working as a patrol sergeant, and I'm enjoying it because everything's starting to fall into place. You know, I got my, I'm under my, you know, my lieutenant, you know, my lieutenant, he's cool. You know, I'm working for him. We see eye to eye. My other patrol sergeant, you know, we real cool. We see eye to eye. I got a chief that I'm working under that's real good. You know what I'm saying? That'll back you up 100% whatever you do. You know what I'm saying? So it's like everything's starting to fall into place.
Wow, that's a man. Now that is a wonderful story right there, brother. That's a wonderful story. I got to give you a hand on that. You know what I'm saying?
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh man, that's very intriguing. And one thing you said that really caught my attention, and that I really took notice, when you said you went down to you went down to Abilene Christian. And down there, you were planning. You took an internship. Okay, so internship. Let's talk about that for a second.
Okay.
Because I'm gonna go. Because I mean, when I came to Tech here in 2005, like I was man, just like your boys. Me and my boys is the same way. You know what I'm saying? We're going to the NFL, and my other homeboy is gonna be playing professional baseball. So, but when I was here, it wasn't until I went to my second school, which was called Harding in Searcy, Arkansas, that I heard of an internship. But here in Texas Tech, I had no idea what an internship was. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's the key when you're in college, especially when you're an athlete. Whenever you can take an internship, take an internship is something that you can see yourself doing in the next couple of years. So that's what I want to ask you. And even though like I was playing here at Texas Tech, I was on the A+ program, which means that's for the kids that's like on Adderall, like that's for the kids who let's just say. There was an exam because I'm from Oklahoma, and we didn't have to take like no tax tests or something like that. So I had to take a test, and I didn't pass. So when I didn't pass, I had to take zero level classes. So when I had to take zero level classes, they tested me to see if I had ADHD, and which I did back then, and which I probably still do now. But anyways, I'm getting all the tutoring. I'm going through all the tutoring I needed. I'm getting extra help, but if you search P. Richardson, go to my Texas Tech profile, they have a major on that, and I didn't even pick. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say is I did have assistance, but I feel like I didn't have the right assistance because no one told me about an internship. No one. They were just all about football, or getting me through class.
That's what they do.
So that's what I want to know. How did you come when you went to Abilene Christian? Well, it was required for your class to take an internship,
it was in our course syllabus pretty much, and it was a internship class, and it was a corresponding class where it was a 3-hour, I think it was a 6-hour course that you had to do some type of internship that was in your field, whether you're a social worker, a psychiatrist, family studies, something like that. You had to do an internship, and it had to be 150 hours, you know, credited, where you had to do, you know, you had to go through various departments for whatever your field is. And it was one of those things where they require that. Even to graduate, whatever major you is, they still require you to do an internship. You know, so it was one of those things where I could have did it. Anything in the field of, because my degree is in it's criminal justice, family studies, and social work. Those are my three categories in my degree. That was all my degrees, you know, pretty much. So either what I did a social work for a nonprofit organization or family studies, whether it's at, you know, the local YMCA or somewhere else, that's considered family studies. So I knew that Abilene, Abilene, you know, Police Department had an internship program just because at the time, Assistant Chief Jim Berry, he's retired now from Abilene, but he used to be a professor, a college professor at Abilene Christian, and he's the one that kind of like brought in the internship program for the police department. And then, you know, the fact that I knew him, he was the first person I called, reached out to get an internship program through the Abilene Police Department. And one of those things where they that's 150 hours, but within that 150 hours, they break it up. I might do 12 hours in the, you know, criminal investigation division. I might do 12 hours at the training academy. I'm doing 12 hours of, you know, dispatch, or I'm doing 50 hours of patrol. They just really, you know, juvenile, I do 12 hours, you know, stuff like that. The child program, I did 12 hours. And they broke it up to accumulate 150 hours. So then now you're spending hours in different departments to get the views, to get your perception, to get, you know, to take notes, to understand the different divisions inside the police department. And that was one of the things that I did that kind of just that sold my ticket, pretty much, that punched my ticket for me wanting to be a police officer. And those were one of the things I took notes, wrote papers, all that stuff, and I got my hours signed off by the, you know, who's over the internship program, turned it into my professor, and that was my class. You know, I didn't have to show up to school. You know, I didn't have to show up to class. That was my class. Mm-hmm. So then once I finished all that paperwork and all that stuff, I submitted all my papers and my log hours, my notes. I submit that to my teacher, and that's how, based on that, that's what my grade was, you know. So that's something that they provided to give you a better light inside of what you wanted to do, you know, whether, you know, and some people, I think it's real good that they do that, because I've known some people that did the internship and realized, hey, that's not what I wanted to do. You know, it's something that, you know, I kind of got to alter mine. I want to change my field. And I think that's key to, you know, to someone who's getting ready to graduate, because that's a senior level course, to kind of get them going, or get them a picture on what they wanted to do, and maybe figuring out it's not for me. Let me figure something else out before I get into the field, or before I get into the career and not like it. But I have no choice, because this is what I, you know, this is what I went to school for. So I think that's good. You know, I remember you mentioned, you said that, you know, they put you in these systems, they put you in these programs just because, you know, that's what they placed you in, because you played football. So that was one of the things where I was saying earlier, don't let them use them as well. You know, a lot of people, you know, these new cats that come in, these phenoms out of high school, these top recruited players, athletes, whether it's female or male, you know, these colleges, you know, okay, I know he's not that bright. I know he's not that bright. So we're going to give him, like, all exercise science classes just so he can be eligible, so he can play for 4 years. And after the 4 years, he's played for us in the eligibility. I don't care what he does. I don't care if he graduates. But that's not our goal. Some colleges used to do that. I'm not saying all colleges do that, but they do that. You know, you look at these high-time athletes, you know, the Cam Newtons, the, you know, the Odell Beckhams, all these guys, just phenom coming out of high school. And you look at some of them, most of these guys in the NFL don't have a college degree. Why? Because these colleges or these coaches, hey, man, we don't really care what he does. We know he's going to go to the lead anyway. So let me put him in bowling class. Let me put him in a golf class. Let me put him in, you know, an athletic class, a coaching class. Let me put him in all this so he can be eligible and have these countless hours in exercise science, or these bird classes, what they call them, just so we can use him for 4 years. And after the four years is up, we don't really care what he does. Or, you know, these good athletes, they get in trouble outside of football, or outside of, you know, outside the campus. Oh, man, he's not an asset anymore, because he's doing this. So we just going to kick him out, throw him to the wayside, and replace him with another athlete that we just recruited. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not giving a crap about you. You know, so these guys are going in thinking
about the athlete's life. So think about the athlete's life. You know, the one that they do kick to the curb, and the ones that do decide that they don't need it anymore. So let's think about that athlete, the one that they do kick to the curb. But let's think about that athlete. He was in school. We do have an athletic ability behind him, and now just say he has a degree. But now he has. Not only do we have a degree, but now he might have a record. So now what? You know what I'm saying? So now does that equal each other out or what? You know what I'm saying? So as a man coming up now, I can just try to tell that person, you know, because people don't know about getting things expunged. People don't know about things like that because most people, how we grew up, we didn't have enough money to know about those type of things. You know what I mean? So that's what, like, especially if there's anybody out there listening now who do have got a degree, who has gotten into some trouble, you can get it expunged. You can just Google it. Get your record expunged to where, like, if you try to get a job and try to use your degree, you'll be able to do so, especially when you're a minority trying to get a job. You got a degree, but then you might got some baggage, like you got an asterisk by your name, and it's like, but you got this. So then it's like, on to the next one. You got a Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And this is one of those things you get expunged to be sealed.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And then you can go do what you want to do. So which leads me to this. Now we're running short of time. So this is what I want to know personally because well, here at Texas Tech, we didn't have criminal justice. We had to do sociology, emphasis on the criminology. You know what I'm saying? So, but when I went to Hardy, my major was criminal justice. Like, I've already been to the FBI office, and I was going to do an internship there. I was real adamant on being in the police force and being an FBI. Like I said, went to the FBI office in Oklahoma. It was set up, but then I ended up getting beat up by a cop in 2009. Got my head busted on the hood of a car. And it didn't make it that much better that it was a black cop. And I took that to heart and was just like, you know what? I don't want to be a cop no more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So ever since then, I've been kind of pursuing, like, my other goals. And because, like, once football was over with, I really found myself lost, you know. And then things just started happening and just being all crazy. Like, I gotta be in a Disney World now. I about joined the Peace Corps, but I didn't. And they ended up formulating a SOAR in which I'm able to talk to you on the radio now, in which I believe, like, that is my purpose, you know, which I'm built to SOAR, you know. But now I'm starting to think, you know, while I'm waiting for my radio show to take off, I'm thinking about joining the academy. So that's what brings me to my last and final question, my brother. How is it being a police officer?
Okay.
A sergeant, that's that.
Okay, so what was the question again?
Just how is it being a police officer, man? Like, how is it? I know it's fun.
It's great, man. It's like a lot of people say, I wouldn't change it for the world. I have the best job in life. But, I mean, being a police officer, man, it takes a lot of responsibility. But I'm going to go ahead and say the cliche thing. I wouldn't change it for the world. Because you have a job that provides you with the necessities and the tools and the knowledge of law to kind of bring it out there on the streets. Not saying that you're trying to lock everybody up and take everybody to jail, but you have the job, you know, you have the opportunity to educate as well as, you know, kind of be on the other side of the fence, you know, giving back to the community. You know, when I normally patrol, I stop and talk to people, not just because I'm trying to jam them up. Just say, hey man, you need anything, call us, man. We help you out. Whatever you need, whatever you're going through, we have assets to kind of help you out, man. So being that role model, being that tool of somebody can call you when they need help or when something's going wrong, they can call you, man. That right there just kind of blows my mind, man. Just, you know, us being a role model to these kids and then, you know, these adults. You know, I'm 28 years old, man, and I'm talking to people who's 50, 60, 70 years old. still calling me to need my help, you know what I'm saying? And that kind of just brings joy, you know, the joy into the job, you know? You know, whether you're helping them out, you know, financially as far as, you know, pointing them in the right direction of programs so that's the provider for the elderly or whatever the case may be, man. It's just one of those that I tell them, people, I get paid to be in people's business or to help people out, so to speak. So those are the things that kind of makes the job, you know, enjoyable pretty much. And I wouldn't change it for the world, man. It's like probably the best job ever. I'm not going to be rich.
That's
I'm never going to be rich. But I'm not going to be poor. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. I know exactly what you're saying. I know exactly what you mean. Either your life is basically you're living your dream. So with that being said, I'm going to take up no more of your time, Mr. Jackson. But, there is one last thing. What's do you have any specific quote, any specific thing that you, when things do get hard, that that you rebuke back to? Like, you know, I like to say adversity. You know, it can either break you or it can force you to break records. You know what I mean? So that's when things get hard for me, I try to rebuke back to that and try not to give in and not let that negative side part of the brain run over. So is there something that gets you through your hard times, like a quote, a Bible scripture, or whatever it is?
To be honest with you, hit me on the spot, man. I got a couple of them that can't come to mind right now, but I always just say keep your head down and keep pushing, man. Keep your head down and keep pushing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, just like when you run a track, right, when things get hard. Keep your head down and keep pushing.
That's all I can say, man, because, you know, when the times get rough, man, like, you know, you can always, you know, look back from where you once were and look at where you're at now to saying, hey, he's still working with me. He's still working on me.
Yeah.
You know, I could be better off than Will is, you know, pretty much. That's what I say.
I know that's right. Be better off, could be well off than well is. That's what I'm talking about. All right, that's Mr. Earl Jackson, a Southern police officer. Let me correct that. That's what I'm talking about, brother. Man, I really enjoyed having this conversation with you. I really look forward to staying in contact with you too, because I know I'm gonna be going up the phone when it comes to. Because I'm supposed to try to be a cop here June 5th, I believe. It's June 5th or June 6th. I believe it's June 5th, though, here in Lubbock, Texas. So now that I got some insight, you know, that's what you could call a mentor. You know what I'm talking about? So thank you once again, Mr. Jackson. You have a blessed day, man. And good luck to you and the rest of your career, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm glad to be on the show, man, anytime.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You have a great day, player.
You too.
Right. Yeah, that was Mr. Harold Jackson Jr., man. Awesome dude. Like I said earlier on the show, if he wasn't listening, we met at a vocational spot. It was it's one of those things I really believe that everything happens for a reason. As long as you keep your nose clean, do right, stay right, do what's right, you're going to be all right. As long as you kiss a little bit, and that I don't mean kiss physical is on the lips. I'm talking about kiss if you just abbreviate it, KIS. It means keep it simple. But if you want to take a little step forward and you kind of get it, and if you kind of got an attitude to the person you're talking to, just say KISS. Means keep it simple, stupid. But yeah, this is The Word on the Street with your boy Petey Pete on Table Now Please Respectfully Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Man, it's been a great day. And that was Mr. Earl Jackson's police sergeant, man. Dude came up straight up out of Houston. Had some tremendous insight. Went to South Plains College on a track scholarship. Then went to Abilene Christian. Took an internship on the had an internship to do while at Abilene Christian. And took it with the police force. And then that's probably one of the best decisions he made in his life, because after that, he finished up with school, went to go play arena ball for a couple years, didn't work out. His mom always told him, you know, how's you doing in school, no matter what you was doing in track or any of your athletics. Long story short, ended up getting on the force of Abilene Christian based on that internship that he did take pride when I was in college. So shout out to Mr. Jackson, and he is a brother. Let me put that out there. So black kids, we do not only have to be entertainers, rappers, or anything like that. We can't be cops. Be the change that we want to see. So it's really been my pleasure. I hope everybody have an awesome day. No matter what somebody say, it doesn't even matter. What matters is how you react to it. So see you guys tomorrow, same short time, different short day. Just like that, I came to win. Aha, Petey Pete, word on the street. Holla at you tomorrow. We on, Nicki Minaj, take it out.
I came to win, to fight, to conquer, to fight. I came to win, to fight, to prosper, to rise, to love.